Well, I'm so glad that you're here. You know, Harvest is a place where you're always welcome. And we hope that when you come that you feel like family and know that you are going to hear from God and that you're going to have a chance to hear from His Word. And what happened this morning with these young people is they just gave us a picture of the Christmas story in moving, meaningful ways. I want to read the passage that we came back to a number of times in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. It tells us this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, I thought that these seniors did a fantastic job of expressing the story of Jesus. And just as we bring this together this morning, I'd like to bring you back to a couple of things that I want to make sure that they just sort of sit and sink in and we think about them for a minute. The first one is this: is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You know, it's such a familiar part of the Christmas story. Joseph and Mary traveled from where they lived, from the town of Nazareth, to Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem. And we mentioned this morning is about 70 miles. Actually, and the route that they would have taken was maybe 90 miles. We see pictures of Mary riding a donkey, but we don't necessarily know that that's true. Actually, if you read any of the biblical stories, it doesn't tell us how they got there. It could have been a donkey. Most likely, they would have walked. They were poor. They were coming from Nazareth. But it could have been a horse or a camel or a donkey. Oh, those were the primary means of transportation. No matter what, it was a hard, dusty, difficult journey. And we're told that Mary is great with child. And they traveled for 5-6 days across this path until they come to the little town of Bethlehem. And when they arrived there, we found out that the city is bustling. So many people came back for the census. And there was no place for them to find a spot where they could rest. There was no room for them in the inn. It's so familiar for us, but it really is an amazing comment in the Bible. God wanted us to know, so He wrote it in His Word, that from the very beginning, the world had no room for Jesus. And it's very purposeful that that little comment is made. I know that the Christmas plays depict this scene as sort of Joseph banging on the outside of the door and the innkeeper coming out and telling them that there's no room. But I wonder if the picture was a little bit different. More likely, they'd been wandering around Bethlehem trying to find a place to stay. And finally, they come back to the inn that maybe they'd looked at before. And they open the door to come into this place where they knew from the outside there were many people that were already staying there. And they open the door and they walk into the little doorway, and it wasn't the Westin, it wasn't the Tsubaki, you know, where you have many guests that are welcoming you and attendants that are going to take care of you and candies at the table. It wasn't like that. In fact, you could probably picture more of like a tavern, a dusty little old location, and they opened the door and they walked in, and there were people everywhere across this, you know, maybe one room and some rooms in the back, and there was just people everywhere. And if you can kind of imagine that all the conversations that were happening, they just stopped and everybody turned to look. You know how that is. And in this door is this young couple. Joseph is standing there and Mary's there and she's very pregnant. And maybe Mary just stands there in the door and Joseph goes to try to find the innkeeper who may have been cooking or he may have been waiting on tables and they locate him in there and maybe the voices start to come back, the conversations begin again, and yet everybody's still watching to find out what's going to happen to this young couple and they can't necessarily hear the conversation, but Joseph and the innkeeper are speaking. I wonder what the people in the room thought. I wonder how many of them had ever found themselves in difficulty and needing help with no place to go. Yet nobody there in that room was sensitive enough or caring enough to step forward and say, well, I have a room, or at least I have a bed, and it's obviously that you need it more than I do. Take my room. Make yourself comfortable. But no. Nobody stepped forward to do that. For a moment, maybe they had stopped and looked and maybe even thought about it and wondered about this poor young couple, but it seems like everybody in Bethlehem was so busy about their own tasks that nobody cared enough for this very needy and very pregnant young couple to try to help them. Very soon, they returned to what they were doing, and the noise level kind of rises again. And the Bible makes it a point to tell us this, because this was going to be the story of Jesus. He was coming to a world that has no room for him. And still today, right? So the question that our kids asked us this morning is maybe for you. Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You know, I find that most people have a lot of the same excuses for why they don't have room in their lives. We're too busy. I mean, our lives and our schedules and our agendas are just so full with all kinds of other stuff to have room for Jesus to write his story. You might have time for God every once in a while. You might have time for church, you know, maybe even once a week if there's not something else going on, if you don't have something else that's a conflict in your schedule. But, you know, we're so busy and we're too distracted. Maybe chasing dreams and finding success. And sometimes we're too comfortable. Comfortable in a lot of things, but a lot of people that I talk to about Jesus and about their need for him, I find that a lot of times we become too comfortable in maybe what I've always believed. There's so many people who have grown up believing that they could find God by doing certain things. You know, if I kind of go through these set of you know, actions, and if I participate in this sort of activity, and you find out that along the path, maybe a little bit later in life, that it just doesn't work. They don't have a real relationship with God. They have a family religion, and it's comfortable, but not a relationship with God. And sometimes we're just too afraid. We're not sure really what it would mean. What would happen if you give your life to God, if you surrender to him? You know, it's kind of the idea that I've had my life mapped out. What will it look like if I give my future to God? I don't know. And there's a natural fear that comes, you know, along with that. There's a really awesome text in the first chapter of the book of John, and it really sums up everything that we're talking about here this morning. It's John chapter 1 and verse 11, and it says this: He came unto his own, but his own received him not. It wasn't just the in at the very beginning. That was the start, and God put it in his word so that we would know that this world, his own, did not have room for him. For so many, there was no room for Jesus. And it was true right from his very birth. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story, and it's not the end of the verse, because John 1 goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, some of you today, this is your verse. Today, God is going to speak into your life, and this verse is going to come alive to you in a way that you've maybe never heard it before. You've maybe never seen it before. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children, the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. And verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are really important verses. John is saying that we can become these children of God. We can be born into God's family, but he wants to clarify for us in very certain terms that it's not of blood. You don't come into God's family by family connections. That means that even if your parents were the best Christians that ever lived, even if your grandma was the most devout person you've ever known, they, your family, cannot transfer eternal life to you to help you have a relationship with God. It's not of blood. You're not born in that way, nor of the will of the flesh. Not just by trying harder, trying to do better, and nor of the will of man. Sort of the idea that some pastor or priest or some church, by right or by declaration or by some activity, can make people Christians, can declare to them that now you are a Christian. It is not by the will of man. I wish that were true. So your parents can't make you a Christian. Your wife or your husband can't make you a Christian. This new birth into God's family is not of blood, and it's not of the will of man, the will of the flesh, and it's not of the will of man, but it is of God. There is this spiritual birth that comes from God that puts us in his family. And that's the reason why the verse before it is so important. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You become the child of God by believing on him and receiving him, by making room for him, clearing space, welcoming him, who he is, what he has done, surrendering your life and your will and your future to him and his care, giving your life to him. This is how the Bible describes becoming a child of God, becoming a son of God. So the question this morning is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Or has your life been too filled with too many other things? The second question is this, and it'll only take us a minute to answer it, but it's this. Why would God choose me? You know, as I came yesterday morning and had the opportunity to watch as these students did a dress rehearsal, I was so moved by each of these little dramas, by each of these, the messages of these songs. I sat back there in that corner in the dark, and I cried. And I did so again this morning. And I know that there's a lot of things going on for me. I feel the weight. I'm a little emotional, you know, today. But this message is powerful. And Joseph stood here before me, before us, and he said, why would God choose me? Nobody had ever chosen me before. Why would God choose me? That might be your question this morning, in this space, in this time. Why would God be calling out to you? And the answer is because he loves you. There's some here, I expect, that you feel as if the spotlight of God's Spirit is shining down on you right in the middle of this place, and maybe even only you. And it is because God loves you. And in this room, and in this place, in the midst of all the circumstances of your life, that God has designed to bring you to this place where your heart is open to Him this morning, and you had a chance to see, maybe for the first time, the depth of what the Christmas story really means. And then in this conversation we're having together, it is as if God is shining His light down on your heart, and He's saying, I am calling to you. It's because He loves you. And He wants to forgive you. And He wants to bring meaning and purpose and direction into your life. And my prayer is this morning that you will feel, that you will soak in His love for you today. And you would be one of the many over the months and over the years in this place who would raise your hand and give your life to God today and surrender to Him. We're going to have the kids come back in just a minute, but I'm going to ask you if you just close your eyes and bow your heads, and would you pray and think and maybe evaluate what God's doing for you and in you this morning. I want you to know that there have been people praying for you all this week. Maybe not by name, but they've been praying for the ones that would sit in this auditorium and would hear the message of the drama and would hear from God's word. And they've been praying because they know exactly how you're feeling. There was a time, you know, a year ago or 3 years ago, or for some of them 10 and 15 years ago, where they sat and felt as if God's spotlight was shining right directly down into their hearts. And it was as if, listen to me, it was as if God was calling to them. I know that there's some here this morning that feel that. And there have been some during this week who've been praying for you. And they've been praying that during this morning, Christmas 2022, you would say yes to God's call. That you would have the courage to make your decision to be a follower of Christ, to accept His forgiveness for your sins, to make Him the leader and the Lord of your life. And you can do that this morning. When we close our service, I'm going to give you some opportunities to talk with somebody, to in this day, in this place, to just pray and find out what the Bible says about life and about eternity, and give you an opportunity, if you would, to give your heart and your mind to Jesus. I hope now in this moment you'll say, yes, yes, I do, I need, I believe, I give my heart to Him. Father, I pray now as we close this service, would Your Spirit be working in a powerful way? I pray for the ones that You have shined the heart of Your call to them. You are calling to them, and they feel it. They know it deep in their heart. Would You give them the courage today to say yes to You, to respond in faith of giving their hearts and their lives to Your care? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.